It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yes, it's KJ and Lyons once again here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. The bad news there, John, and I like to say that Gerard Mayo is getting a case of EPMD. Everybody's picking at Mayo's decisions, but that's not a decision of his. David Andrews done for the season, and I say, oh my God, could it get any worse?
It doesn't really feel like it, KJ. We were talking about a team, fourth left tackle in 4 weeks last Sunday against the 49ers. They have an elite right guard in Mike Onwenu playing right tackle, where he's pretty good but still out of position. You have a rookie playing there at right guard. Now you have Sidy Sow, who was pretty good towards the end of last year, much better than the first half of last year, but he just played in his first game against the 49ers. Still have Cole Strange on the shelf, and I know we probably all have our own criticisms of Cole Strange, but still a guy on the shelf. And now you lose David Andrews. And, KJ, this is a big loss, I think, for a couple of reasons. Number one,
he hikes the ball.
Yeah, right. And we saw them have some trouble without that in the preseason, right? But number one is in the Alex Van Pelt offense, this West Coast wide zone style offense, the center is actually more responsible than the quarterback for setting protections and making sure everything's right up front. Whereas, you know, the Josh McDaniels offense before, we all remember with Brady and even early Mac Jones, Cam Newton, the quarterback was responsible for all that. So you could lose a center. Again, it wouldn't be great, but you could put someone else in that wouldn't have to worry about that. Now, whoever the Patriots' new center is, and it probably will be Nick Leverett, has to be responsible for all those things in this new offense. And the other thing, KJ, and I think
I have to ask you this before this.
Go ahead.
If you were a sports alien, you came down to earth, but you came to be interested in sports, and you listened to sports talk radio across the country about teams, football teams across America, we're talking about offensive linemen. That sports alien would say, this team must be really bad if the conversation is about the offensive line. It's the most boring thing that does. I mean, we might as well talk about kickers and long snappers at this point.
Yeah, unless you're in Detroit and your O-line's so good that it's one of the reasons you win.
But I'm saying the sports channel would say, like, okay, can these guys catch a ball, run a ball? They can't even go. They get penalized for going across the line of scrimmage. This is how bad it is. We're talking offensive linemen.
But see, we would educate that sports alien to let him know how important it is. So
If you beam me up now, some fans probably feel like, just beam me up now, so please.
The other piece of this, and I think this is, Mayo kind of alluded to it there, but it's flown a little bit under the radar just because everyone's focused on, oh my God, how bad the O-line will be without him, is David Andrews is one of the few guys in that locker room that has a Super Bowl ring. And by my count, I think he's one of two players on the team, him and Jonathan Jones, that have multiple Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. And
do those rings play left tackle?
And we've talked a lot about them trying to reset the culture and kind of get use some of the good things from the Belichick-Brady era, but then also turn the new page. And one of the things that can help you rebuild a culture is if you have guys that have won Super Bowls buying into it. And we saw David Andrews and Jonathan Jones, they've been there, they've been buying into it. We saw in week one, their week one win, one of the biggest plays of the game was Jonathan Jones, that 4th-and-2 stop against Cincinnati, right? It was a nice early sign from a guy that had won multiple
Super Bowls.
See,
you've already stopped talking about the offensive
now,
line.
Now, you lose one of these guys that has won multiple Super Bowls, that it's just a blow there culturally to the locker room, which, again, I know the big story is, oh my God, how are they going to block people now, and how are they going to set protections without David Andrews? But also, again, if I'm wrong, someone text or call in and correct me, but I think those are the only two guys on this roster who have won multiple Super Bowls here, Dietrich Wise being another guy that won one.
Again,
But
none of those rings can play left tackle.
But you lose a guy with multiple rings like that. Again, I think it's just a leader, a veteran that people take really seriously that now is not going to be there every day. And I think that's a blow as well.
So here's what could potentially happen, because you're like, okay, if David Andrews is the leader, then you let the leader be the leader. Now you would have to argue, who is the, is there really a leader on the offensive line? Hey, guys, now's a chance to step up and be the leader.
I mean, you'd really have to look at Mike Onwenu, and he's only been here since 2020.
And look at nobody. If you got all F's in a D, are we going to hang our hats on getting a D?
He's better than a D. I know the line stinks, but I'm not going to slander
everything
him like
on
that.
This line is nearly an F.
I'm not going to slander Onwenu like that. But point
wait,
being,
wait, wait. Are like they all the offense, one team, or is it one guy?
The offensive leader now, to me, it's probably got to be Hunter Henry. Right, like, because I, you just look around
on the offensive line. We're at that point now.
But David Andrews was the guy, and not just for the offensive line, but the whole offense. So now you really have to look beyond.
I'm just saying that when you know that David Andrews was that guy, now he's gone. It may force other guys to try and step their game up to be a leader, and that could be something good, because now people are on an accord saying, hey, it's all on us. We don't even have our center to defend us, who's the guy with the rings, as you say. So, hey, this could be that vacuum that makes people wake up. I'm not going to say these guys are totally asleep. I'm just saying, when I look at the tape, hell, you might as well be asleep. So somebody's got to step up at this point. I mean, and to the sports alien who's listening, I swear, I hope by the middle of this season, we're not talking about the offensive lining. Like, I really want to talk about Drake May. I want to talk about that stuff. Like, we are talking about the offensive line, the most boring ass thing about any football team. Even the long snapper could do a neat trick. Jeez.
Okay, see, I'm off that box. I think the O-line is important, and I like talking about it.
Not for discussion. I'm in the minority. That's like discussing my mortgage.
I'm in the minority. I know, but I like discussing it.
I think, totally get it, because it is kind of the story all along.
Because, you know, we see how important it is this year when it's not good.
And we also see what's going on the field. That's why people are screaming for Drake May, because I think they're sick of hearing about how bad this offensive line is. Like, at some point, they're like, you know, if at least he gets out there and scramble, I could talk about something else other than, like, adjustable rate mortgages and 30 years and 10 years and 15. Like, that stuff is like watching paint dry in slow motion. Tell me the fan base doesn't deserve something more than that, that we're at this point now. Matt Jones was a better conversation than what's going on with this offensive line.
Well, the fan base deserves a better football team, just flat out, right?
Last year, but at least you were like, hey, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, at least there was some type of conversation piece. We're talking about guys who all have jerseys between 50 and 79.
I think a real conversation piece is when you actually win, which obviously, without David Andrews... It's going to be just tougher and tougher. Like you mentioned, Drake May, this could push his timeline back a little bit. I don't know if it's going to have a huge, massive effect on the timeline, but it might push it back, I think, a little bit. And it just, again, stating the obvious
here. Why don't we just push it back 3 years?
But it really hurts your chances just to win. I mean, you have a winnable game against Miami this week. Like, I mean, all the criticism we levy against the Patriots, Miami might be worse than you right now. They're on their third string QB. They can't move the ball at all. That defense has some guys on it I just don't love. Mike McDaniel looks a little lost, you know, for a guy that's been a coach for several years. And it's a winnable game, but without a guy like Andrews, I'm not saying it's not winnable now, but it makes it a lot harder.
So their pass defense is like fifth in the league?
Who, Miami?
Yeah. What did the Patriots have a problem doing?
Throwing the ball.
Okay, so things are kind of even in a weird way. But I know the David Andrews story tends to be the big story you want to go with. I think this is the bigger story. Here's Jerod Mayo on who may be starting at running back this weekend.
Start this weekend given Ramondre's fumbling issues and a couple of
games. That's definitely under consideration, and I've had multiple conversations with Ramondre. But look, we can't preach that ball security is job security and still have him out there the majority of the time. So I think it sends a stronger message to the players that there are certain things that we just can't do to win, especially with the team that we have today.
See, that's what you tell the sports alien. That's the really good, juicy story there, is that you're one guy who you pretty much say is the most valuable person on your offense may not be starting anymore because of his fumble problems. And I ask, Does Ramondre Stevenson still want
to
be here?
And also a guy you just gave a 4-year contract to, right? $36 million or whatever. I think 17 guaranteed.
I've got a place you might be able to move that. Like, if that's what has to happen.
4 fumbles in 4 games. You lost the last 2 of those fumbles. By the way, at key points in games, right? Early third quarter against the Jets, and of course early on against the 49ers. I mean, I love Ramondre Stevenson, the player. I've been a fan of his since he had 600 rushing yards in a part-time role as a rookie, but I mean, you can't fumble 4 times in 4 games and be the starter. And what, like, and I understand they're in a little bit of a catch-22 because he is, I think, head and shoulders the best player on this offense right now. And the best chance you have of moving the ball consistently is with him as part of it. But, I mean, when you're going to fumble 4 times in 4 games.
You heard Mayo said, I've talked to him several times.
Yeah, like, I don't think you can, and especially Gerard Mayo.
Any parent can tell you that's more than 3.
Yeah, and this is one of those things. Gerard Mayo, rookie head coach, some of the things he does this year are going to set precedents. And if he allows
Stevenson... Oh, this
Stevenson
is the EPMD portion. Everybody's picking on Mayo's decisions. Is that what we're doing again here?
If he allows
He didn't fumble the ball.
KJ, can I just finish this thought here? Like, if he allows Stevenson to continue to start and play a bunch of snaps, then maybe other guys are going to look at it and say, well, if I make a mistake or two, it's okay. Or I make a mistake 3 times. It's not like Stevenson fumbled once. Or twice. Like, this is 4 times in 4 games. And I don't know why I don't know if he's got the yips. I don't know if it's just bad luck. I honestly don't know exactly what the cause is. But if you're going to be fumbling every game out there, you have to have your playing time cut down. Not only for the good of the team on the field, because if you fumble, it hurts the team. But it's just you look around the locker room and then does it... And you mentioned this last night about do guys take Mayo as seriously as they need to. I mean, what does it say if a guy's fumbling every game and there's no consequence?
There may be a solution. That's next here. KJ Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come. Keywords, Red Sox, Eagles, Devontae Adams, Bill Belichick, the Lions Den, and Derek White. But now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins got the win in preseason action last night, 4-1 your final over the Philadelphia Flyers. Captain Brad Marchand left the game with an illness. They'll head to Quebec City to take on the LA Kings in the penultimate preseason game before, of course, heading down to Florida next Tuesday for the regular season opener against the Panthers. In goaltender news, the Bees have claimed Jiri Patera off waivers. The 24-year-old netminder spent the last 2 years in Vegas. Jeremy Swayman and the Bruins continue their contract stalemate with Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts podcast, saying that the team has offered Swayman the $8 by $8 million deal that Cam Neely alluded to the other day, but that Swayman seems set on a deal in the high $8 million to $9 million range per year. Patriots back on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup at Gillette with the Dolphins. Among those on the field were wide receiver Kendrick Bourne, who was working his way back from a torn ACL suffered last year. We just played those cuts, but Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo met with the media today, saying that Antonio Gibson may see more action on Sunday after Ramondre Stevenson has fumbled in each of the team's first 4 games, and that starting center David Andrews will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery and will be placed on IR. Playoff baseball underway. Bunch of game twos today. The Detroit Tigers completed a sweep of the Houston Astros. They'll move on to face off with the Cleveland Guardians. Orioles and Royals are in action right now. Orioles just tied that one up 1-1 in the bottom of the 5th. Of course, the O's are looking to stave off elimination. Mets and Brewers slated to get underway at 7:38. Mets looking to move on there. And finally, the Padres will look to eliminate the Braves. First pitch at 8:38. My name is Zach Coe. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Oh, Devontae Adams? Was that him who just said that to Robert Kraft? We'll get to that here in moments. It's KJ and Lyons here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're 20 minutes away from the Lions Den. Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield. Sorja, thank you for calling KJ and Lyons, and thank you for being part of the congregation.
What's going on today? How are we, guys?
Good.
Yeah, a couple of quick points here. I just think that, you know, I think it was definitely a good decision not to start May at the beginning of the season, even though I wanted to. But the way I look at it is that I don't think if you put May in this week against the Dolphins, the season is already gone, as we know. And I think the biggest issue with Jacoby Brissett now is that now it's impeding your ability to evaluate the talent all around. And I think the toughest thing moving forward is going to be that, you know, not everyone's like me and has like a PFF Plus subscription, right? A lot of people just want to watch a good game like we had in week one and week two. And I just hope that this is not the product moving forward. And if I really had to be Mr. Bright Guy, according to PFF Plus, we've had the second hardest schedule, and the schedule gets better moving forward. But at this point, we got to put in Drake May in because I'm probably going to lose my mind. But you guys have a great night. Take care.
Sorja, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Sounds so serious. John. Oh, go ahead, John.
No, I was just saying thanks for the call. Yeah.
Oh, no. Your thoughts.
So, look, and this is going to sound like I'm flip-flopping a little bit. The night after Drake May got drafted, I said, hey, play him either week nine or maybe after the bye. And then during training camp, I was down there. I was covering camp for a few days, watching it a few days, and saw his progression, saw him in the preseason. And I thought, hey, you know what? Maybe week five, week six. So now we're at week five, right, going into Miami. And I will say, the opponent in Miami is not a bad landing spot, right? I talked about it last segment that they're kind of out of sorts right now. They're not playing well, third string QB, all that good stuff. But this offensive line has been so bad. And I have some uncertainties about Alex Van Pelt as a play caller. And they don't have any true vertical threat in their receiving core. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's the right time. And also, let's be clear, too. This is not just about the other guys on the field. There's things May has to do to develop as well, right? He has to get better at taking under center snaps, and now you don't even have your starting center. And I'm not saying he can't do that, but we saw those issues in the spring and in the summer, and he's got to get better at that. He's got to get better at setting some of the protections. He's got to get more comfortable. Heck, KJ, you and I saw it Thursday Night Football. He plays one series, he gets hit four times and sacked twice. So
yeah,
I'm almost back to my original week nine kind of thoughts now.
You know how here in New England, you kind of, you know, if someone tells you that they've turned on their heat before November 1st, you're like, man.
It's funny. I once had a deep discussion with someone about that. Yeah, they said Halloween was the day. They don't put the heat on.
Yeah, like you do not turn to, like, suck it up. This is what fleece is for. All that other stuff, blankets, you don't turn your heat on before November 1st. Like, who are you? You're a Floridian? When we started this break, I played that cut from Devontae Adams, and I think it's very important because look at it from the Raiders' perspective. And take off your Patriots glasses. The Raiders are going to want to get what's best for them, despite what Devontae Adams says that he wants, right? Because we have your contract. There's still more years on it. So we want to pretend, and we want at least the second. We want a second rounder. But do you think they want a second rounder that's going to be towards the end of the second round? This is why you get on the phone with the Patriots, because you know that the Patriots made an offer to Ayuk. You know they were willing to overpay for Ayuk. You know that they made an attempt at Calvin Ridley. And you know they can ride this contract out for two more years and then make a decision on Devontae Adams. And then you just heard Devontae Adams saying about the importance to him of seeing a black head coach with the New England Patriots to Robert Kraft. Now, I ask you this, John. When he made that statement, who was the quarterback of the team? Nobody.
Yeah, I was good. Well, Brissett, I think, was technically signed. But yeah. Right. Yeah, no, right. I was just trying to think back exactly when.
So that kind of eliminates, well, he's got to go play for an elite quarterback or this, that, or the third. Because if you're bringing up Jaden Daniels, that's a new situation, too. So I'm the Raiders. I'm talking to the Patriots and saying, oh, and that other piece that you might want to give up, Ramondre Stevenson. You feel like he may not want to be here. You would save $20 million if you got rid of Davante Adams' contract, send it to New England, and you take on Ramondre Stevenson's contract at nine a year. So now you save money. You get a top. You get a second round pick that's probably going to be what, 33, between like 33 and 37?
Yeah, to me, that's, I don't love, and it's, so this is the coach and me talking.
Wait, Devontae, from the Raiders' perspective, you, that's not sexy to
no,
you?
No, from the Raiders it is. I'm saying from New England, I don't know if I love that fit. And like, Devontae
what,
Adams,
you don't
the
love
player,
Devontae Adams here?
Devontae Adams, the player, I love. Like I said, coach me talking, his releases off the line, I think, are the best in the NFL for a receiver. And he's a terrific, terrific player. But I look, he turns 32 later this year. He's still really good. Like, I'm not saying he's not good now.
Is he better than any of the younger guys on the team right now?
Oh, 100%. He is.
Okay, then
my
concern, throw the age thing
out, is that if you look at like his career timeline, so he's going to be 32 this year. I don't know if he's would be it would line up for him to be part of a really good Patriots team in 2 or 3 years. And even with Drake May starting, let's say Drake May plays later this year and plays with Davante Adams, and it looks good, maybe that would speed things up a little bit. But I just think if you're the Patriots, and I'm not saying not to try to get him, but I would almost rather save that ammunition for someone that is younger, like what they tried for Ayuk, and I know it failed, and they tried for Calvin Ridley, I know.
And it failed. But
I don't think
those are going to be more failures?
And I think, no, not necessarily. I mean, they can still get a guy. But I'm not totally against Adams, but Stevenson in a second-round pick to me just doesn't make sense to do. I think because that you mentioned that pick. That's going to be a top 40 pick. And Stevenson is, you know, I know I criticized him last segment. He had the fumbling problems.
Tyquan Thornton was a top 40
still,
pick.
Yeah, but that's not really relevant to this. I mean, that was a totally different regime.
It's that position. Like, it's that same thing you're looking for.
I mean, that position has more good young players than ever before.
And they're named Davante Adams or have his pedigree already. Let's go to Pete the card, because get in this conversation, Pete. You want to talk about Davante Adams. 617-779-7937. Thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Hey, longtime Packer fan, too. Love the guy. I don't know if he remembers that Green Bay had a black head coach in 1999 named Ray Rhodes, but I have to say I'm landing on for the Patriots, it's foolish to give up that pick 33 for a 2-year rental of Davante Adams. You know, I think you just stay with those picks and you pick your young players and you move forward.
Thanks, Pete. I totally disagree. This sounds like what the Red Sox are doing. Yeah, let's get these young guys. Let's get these young guys out there. Where are the Red Sox right now?
Yeah, I think I understand your point. I think it's a little different than what the Red
Sox
are.
Well, and the other part about Ray Rhodes being the head coach in 1999.
Adams was not there for like 15 more years. So
right,
I don't
exactly.
know how much difference that makes to Davante Adams.
Look, if you have control of the remote, if you know how to use the remote, then we can have the conversation. I don't think he had to. I'm just going by what he told Bob Kraft on LeBron's shop broadcast. Is that here he is telling the owner of the team he appreciates what he is doing, and now that same said player is in a situation where the team who wants to get rid of him is already telling you, we'll take him for a second and a player and some compensation. It could be money. You never know. Why not have that conversation? I think the Patriots are at least going to have that conversation, but if I'm the Raiders, I would want to make it happen with them, because you have to look at what teams are going to be end up picking up pretty, you know, picking pretty low or high, depending on how you want to see it. When you get to the draft next year, you say the Patriots are one of them. Miami could be one of them, but they're not going to come off of, you know, they've already got two guys. I don't think Jacksonville's going to do it, right? Jacksonville making it.
And there was a report today that Adams prefers the Jets or the Saints, which makes sense because, right, it's Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, two guys.
But that's what he wants.
Right, two guys that he's. But if you look at those teams. Like, I think it would be smart for the Jets to go out and get Davante Adams, and really for the Saints, too. And I think they could put a package together that would entice the Raiders to
the
want
Jets,
to make
no
move.
Way. I think Aaron Rodgers is done after this year, even with
so
I think he just retires.
Probably. I mean, if you get Davante Adams and you're the Jets, that might put you that. I don't know if you win the Super Bowl, but you're in that neighborhood.
It fixes everything this year.
It makes a massive. You have Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers. You're going to score a lot of points. And I know they've had issues, but like you're going to score a lot of points.
But they've got this year issues. I don't think. And plus, and here's the thing. Let's say the Jets kind of turn some things around, and let's just say they get to the wild card spot. If you're the Raiders, that's not. I mean, yeah, it's a second-round pick that's kind of decent, but you would probably want to look at a team where you know that you could probably find one of your two pressing, most pressing issues right there at the top of the second round. They could find their next quarterback at the top of the second round, but not at the bottom of the second round. That's not going to happen.
What helps the Patriots more, though? Getting Devontae Adams and giving up that second-round pick, or using that second-round pick on a wide receiver you're going to have control of for 4 years?
Or who doesn't pan out, or who could be Tyquan Thornton.
I think this is just so much about the timeline. Again,
accelerates Drake May getting in there, does it not? If you get Devontae Adams here, tell me you're not saying we've got to go with Drake May right now. Through hell or high water.
Well, that would be a mistake in itself, because you get and I love Devontae Adams. He's a great player, but I mean, he doesn't walk in and fix your offensive line. I mean,
does he force other teams to game plan for the receiver position?
And that is a great part of if you had a guy like Devontae Adams, right? He helps you in that area, and that is something, again.
It grows Jalen Polk.
You can like the receivers they have now, and I like them better than the receivers they had last year, but they don't have that guy, right, that a team really has to worry about and game plan before. So it helps. I just, like I said, to give up the assets for him, I would want someone younger than that. Like, again, an Ayuk was a mid-20s guy. That's a guy I'd be more willing, like a T. Higgins next offseason. Like,
Those guys are saying no. You've already seen it. What was Calvin Ridley? His wife said, "I don't want to go to New England."
Yep.
Right? When that's going on, when that's happening, you have no chance at those type of guys. The guys who are most likely going to come here are going to be the ones that understand the culture of football much better, who've been in the league longer, and knows what it takes to be a pro's pro. I'm not saying Ayuk can't do that. I'm not saying that Ridley can't do it. I'm just saying they are not Devontae Adams. They have not played next to Aaron Rodgers. They have not played for a franchise that's kind of like everything is about home, like he was in Green Bay. So that's the other part of it. People can sit there and get like, oh, he's too old and all that, everything. I was like, he's better than everybody who's super young here.
But I think the Patriots have to be careful that they don't fall into the trap of, like, this is what a lot of bad teams do, where they have all these problems and they trade for a guy who is a star, like Adams, but who's aging and who probably isn't going to be there when they're really good, and then it kind of sets them back a little bit further because that guy provides some nice moments. Like, this is exactly kind of what happened with Adams and the Raiders, right? Like, provides some great moments and plays great in his own right, but then it just doesn't really pan out with you being a good team. So that's why,
Raiders don't have the same culture that you have here in New England.
What is the Patriots' culture right now?
Well,
I mean, you got guys having temper tantrums on
three
the field.
Three out of the last 28 years? Is that where we're really going to go?
Is culture really that much of a selling point for the Patriots right now?
It is for
all-pro.
I think
they're trying to build one. But what is their? If I'm Devontae Adams, I look at the Patriots.
I just think some of these younger receivers kind of like, what is there to do in New England? I can't hang out in New England.
But if I'm Adams and I look at the Patriots, what do I see? Like, I don't necessarily see.
I see Gerard Mayo as my head coach. So that's what he just said.
Yeah, and a guy who, by the way, has been out coached 2 weeks in a row. That's also what I see.
Okay, but then again, we're playing with leather helmets and we can't even run the ball. Chris in the car, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on WEEI. Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening, guys. I don't see it. I mean, Devontae Adams is aging. He's not going to want to come here. He's in the same boat as Ayuk. He's in the same boat as Ridley. And he's older than them. He's very expensive. Keep the top 40 picks. Build the team from within. And then maybe a year or two down the line, maybe you have
four,
some more picks.
4 years
you
down
go.
The line.
But not right now.
All right, Chris, thanks. So by show of hands, fan base, who wants to see the team get good? Like, it's going to take about 4 or 5 years. Raise your hand. How many want to see the team get decent within 2 years?
And I think that's on the table, right? Like, them being a playoff or a fringe playoff team in 2025, as bad as they are right now, I don't think is that crazy. Like, if Drake May is good.
With this squad or without making any type of bigger move?
If Drake May is good and Jalen Polk is good, and let's say Mayo is legit. I know it's only four games, so we don't have the whole picture on Mayo. But let's say he's legit. All of a sudden, that with a defense next year that would have Barmore back and a lot of guys, like, all of a sudden you might have something. Again, you still need to fix your offensive line. But then if you have, you know, a top five pick or a top six pick, whatever, then you can get that franchise left tackle. You have money to spend. Maybe you can go after some people. So that's why, again,
there would be nothing on the Patriots that scared me outside of Hunter Henry, still with that scenario.
They could still be a fringe playoff team is what I'm getting at. So with Adams, I'm not 100% like against it. I would just be wary of giving up a lot because, yes, you can be a fringe playoff team in 2025, and he would help you in that. But I think you're going to be really good potentially, not till 26 or 27, and then I don't know if he lines up for that. I would just want someone a little
so
bit
So how
younger.
Many years did IU
but
get?
But I'm not it was like against it.
It was like 5 years at 32, something like
it
that?
Was 4 or 5 years at like 32, yeah.
Okay, so Devontae Adams is 28 with 2 years remaining.
No, he's 31.
No.
Oh,
28
sorry.
Per year.
Sorry, I thought you meant
2 years remaining. That's what you get for trying to be right all the time. But seriously.
I'm just so used to it.
Oh, geez. So you have options in 2 years.
Right.
Let's just say in 2 years, because here's the thing. What Devontae Adams may ask for 3 years from now, the Patriots don't have to pay. I mean, the market's going to go up. It'll probably get to about 30. You'd say, we don't want to pay him 30, but we believe we've got to develop Jalen Polk. We've got another situation. Or you might say, hey, this could be a sign and trade situation with Devontae Adams to a contender where you can then get someone who's like, we need to do something now. Then you can start stacking picks because at least you know things have been developed and maybe things are on a roll. Maybe it becomes enticing for another free agent to say, okay, I saw what Devontae went in there and did and helped build that. Okay, my money is not like Devontae's money, but I could go in there, ball out, and then potentially be that guy that gets the money there along with Polk. So while you still have Polk under control. So somebody has to come in and set the example that says that it can be done versus like, I'm just going to wait for other guys who might make it in the league, might not. And, I mean, you know, Tyquan Thornton, he was taken in the second round, correct?
Yeah, instead of George Pickens, I remember
No, I don't want to do the instead of. I'm just saying, what round was he taken in and what is his position?
I just said the second round.
Okay, so instead of trying to do all that hopscotching between like, maybe this guy will work out, maybe he won't, why don't you go get a guy who will, even for a couple of years, so this team gets developed with a superstar that teams have to plan for? I know I'm up against the break, but that's going to help accelerate. This is how you put Drake May in the game sooner, because now you've got to use this asset you've got out there. Everybody out there on the outside is still learning for the most part.
Yeah, and I love the player and I'd be happy to have him. I would not want to use the Patriots' second round pick. Like, if they could get it for their third, which I think if they waited
the
out.
The old New England, let me get it cheaper. Look, if it's the price is out, the price.
Look, Keenan Allen got traded for a fourth this offseason. Like, similar career, similar accomplishments to Devontae
Adams. Keenan Allen is severely beaten up. We're talking about a Devontae Adams who has had no
Allen
serious
puts up
injuries.
Like 1,000 yards every year.
Keenan Allen almost pretty much has to roll himself to the game at this point. That's why you get a fourth round in four. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lions continues next with the Lions Den. Thank you so much for hanging out. Dun, 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 dun. KJ and Lions, WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come. Maybe the $64 million was never really discussed. That's coming in 13 minutes here. On WEEI. John, how can I put this? Are you scared about this whole longshore thing that's going on right now? Because people are slow panicking, like with bottled water and stuff like this. Like, are you kind of worried about it? Or like, are you like,
No, you know what? I have faith in Frank Sobotka to negotiate a good deal.
Season two on the wire?
I do. No, look, it's a real thing. I'm not panicking per se, but it's definitely something worth paying attention to.
Right. It's interesting because like, it's always a mystery what are inside of these box containers. I think we start to learn more about what are in these box containers. But again, to be able to have that go from Maine all the way to Texas and be like, no dice. I'm like, you know what? Like, real power would be like, and we got the West Coast too. We got Mexico. We've got Matlatazan, everything, you know. So it'd be interesting how it all turns out. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Sam. We've been talking about Devontae Adams. Sam, thanks for calling KJ and Lions.
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. I just want to touch base about the Devontae Adams piece. I mean, I'd love to have him on the team, of course, even if he is, you know, kind of going maybe a little bit out of his prime, but he's still going to be a productive offensive player, especially with Drake May. You want to have something like that. But the Keenan Allen comparison, I was a little confused because, you know, one thing about Keenan Allen is 6 out of the last 7 years. He's had between 6 and 8 touchdowns. He's also had over 1,000 yards last year, and five out of the last six.
And also he's also been beat up tremendously. Yeah, he's been beat up tremendously, Sam.
He may have been beat up a little bit, but I'm saying that if that may be true. But at the same time, a fourth rounder for him, right, is what we got, right? So you're saying that he's not, like, he doesn't compare really to Davante Adams because he's beaten up. Well, why is, you know, he's gotten injured twice, right? In the last 7 years, got injured twice, and it shortened his season by, I think, a total of 10 games.
Yeah, he missed four games last year, and I think six the year before. So yeah, 10.
Didn't he start on the injured? Didn't he start out not on the injured reserve? But didn't he start hurt this year?
So I mean, Adams has played a few more games than him. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say about Davante Adams too, though. The one thing we're forgetting is like you guys just brought up, how are we going to pay him $36 million 2 years in a row after this?
Oh, I don't think you have to do it. Yeah, Sam. Thanks for the call. Yeah, no one said that the Patriots have to then go sign him for $36 million to keep him around. Let's see what you get for the 2 for $28 million, which is going to be about $4 or $6 million less than what you were willing to pay Ayuk, and only in half of the time. So you're really only giving up $56 million over 2 years versus, I mean, that's a season and like three quarters for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I think you're underrating the Keenan Allen comparison a little
bit. I'm just saying,
I know
in terms
Adams
of why
is healthier,
a fourth rounder versus a second rounder.
I know Adams is healthier. I'm not going to dispute that. And I think Allen is like 6 months older than Adams, so there isn't a huge age difference, but I mean, if Allen goes for a fourth, which I believe was a high fourth, right? The Bears were near the top of the draft.
Right.
So that's why, to me, Adams, 6 months younger, a little bit more durable. I think a third round would be fair. And the other piece of this, too.
Yeah, but Davante Adams has a Taco Bell in his house.
There's going to be potentially, and I know it's always potential, right? But there's going to be potentially some younger guys that are pretty much as good as Davante Adams that are potentially available in the next couple of years.
That are going to be kicking down the doors to come here.
Whether it's Debo Samuel, whether it's DK Metcalf, and I'm talking guys that can be traded for, that have term left on their deal. If you just look at some of those situations, like maybe those are guys I'd rather trade a second or even a future first for a guy like that, as opposed to, and again, I like
Beggars
Adams.
Beggars can't be choosers like now
if I found out in 5 minutes the Patriots traded for Davante Adams, like I'd like it. I like the player. I look at where they're at in their building, and I look at where some other options that may be out there this offseason, and I kind of lean towards just waiting.
Do you a la carte a meal when it comes to the table? Like, you're like, can I get a salad with like no croutons, add onions, extra
Not
onions?
Not real. Once in a while, I will.
Okay, because I was going to say, it sounds like I had the croutons, no onions, extra tomato. 37937, we're 1 minute away from the lines then. Zach, what you got on the text line?
Someone suggests waiting for Kendrick Bourne to play in a game in the regular season before we spend the money and resources to get Davante Adams, especially when you just used draft picks on Polk and Baker.
Yeah, so how long have we been waiting for Bourne, even going into last year?
Kendrick Bourne, look, he had 800 yards receiving in 2021. Last year, he was actually on pace to break that mark had he not got hurt. So I like Kendrick Bourne a lot. I'm a fan of him, the player and the guy, but I think in a great offense, KJ, Kendrick Bourne's like a number two or three guy. Like, I don't think he's a one. So even if he came back and was good and you had him, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, like, I still would like there to be another guy there.
What is the best ability in the NFL?
Availability.
There we go.
Yeah, but it's one injury. I mean, I'm not going to crush him for that.
Best ability is available.
I know, but that's like, come on, let's be fair here. Like, he had one injury.
Fair? This doesn't come to the county grounds every once a year. This is football. If you're not out there to contribute,
let's be fair in our assessment. Like, it's one injury he had, and he'll be back before the halfway mark of the season.
All right. We're 7 minutes away from more Swayman talk and some interesting things that have been coming out from the lawyer and what Cam Neely said. That's all still to come. But right now it's time for...
See the one about lions?
Can't lose to this adapter.
King of the jump.
All right, John, let's start with the Patriots against the Dolphins this Sunday. I mean, a matchup now of evens that we didn't see 4 weeks ago. Will the Patriots roar against the Dolphins?
Is it possible for both teams to meow, KJ? Can I say that?
That's what happened in that Tennessee game.
I will actually say, yeah, I think the Patriots are going to win this game. I think Miami's in a really bad spot. And I know things look bad for the Patriots, but they just played two great teams. Miami's not nearly that. They're at home. I think the Patriots win.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Mike McDaniel just go straight Tony Yayo right there on the field. Just so I got to my balls and my word. Like, no, you can't do that stuff on the sideline. All right, will the Red Sox roar in the offseason?
So I've been quite critical of the Red Sox, KJ, and I'm going to actually say yes. I think they're going to go out and they're going to find a higher-end starting pitcher and a right-handed bat, and I think they're going to go get both of them.
You sound like a very tough mountain lion in Worcester. Maybe we'll see if that lion still roars once we get to Winterfest, if they have it once again.
That's true.
And finally, will our former beloved Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts roar in the postseason in our face?
I'm going to say yeah, and Mookie's had a really difficult last two postseasons. He was great when the Dodgers won the World Series a few years ago, but I think he's going to roar. Xander Bogaerts was 0-3 last night, but I got faith in Xander. I think he's going to have a good game tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you with Mookie. Last year, they struggled because all they had to do was stop him and Freeman. Now with Ohtani, there's no way you'll be able to stop all three. So I totally agree with Mookie, and the way that San Diego's playing right now, they are on fire. So I agree. The second hour, KJ and Lyons, WEEI. Next, thanks so much for hanging out. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead. Be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.